The Hard Shoulder on News Talk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Professor John Oxford, virologist from Queen Mary University in London, and he has been studying all aspects of this pandemic and joins us on the line. Any reasons for optimism first, John?
Yes, thank you, Ivan. Well, I'm always waking up. When I wake up, I'm looking for optimistic things. And what I'd love to have is an antiviral, an anti-COVID-19 pill in my pocket, which I could take, a vaccine and a diagnostic test for antibody. But at the moment, none of the three are available. And so we have to look to other things. And so I'm very much focused today. Actually, I found three important things. And the first thing is, actually, my colleague Peter Dougherty, who's a Nobel Prize winner in Australia, he's come out supporting a wonderful Australian study, and it tells us something simple and something very, very important. That is this social distancing, that is keeping away from people, keeping a meter away from people, get your hygiene up and washing your hands. If 90% of us do it, then we can kill this virus stone dead in the next 8, 9, 10 weeks. If 80% of us do it, more or less the same. If 70% of us do it, we will not have a result, and we would have wasted all this time for nothing. So it's extremely important to get this number of people who are complying, whether they're my age, whether they're Prince Charles' age, whether they're 22-year-olds, some compliance here, taking it seriously, and then together, we can crack this virus. Otherwise, we will not.
How optimistic do you think the scenario is from Asia and China? In other words, it doesn't seem to be exactly clear. We get that for a couple of days now, there's no new cases other than imported cases. So it looks like the community transmission of the virus has stopped. But does that mean that it still stops if you lift all the restrictions?
Well, we don't know, and they don't know, but they've done a wonderful job. I mean, a lot of people around, I know a few myself, they spent all this time sniping at the Chinese. We should be praising them. We really should, of what they've done in their country. We're struggling around here. You know, we are in England. We're struggling around, like losing the war almost. And they strode ahead 2 or 3 months ago and knocked this virus for 6. Now, they have got some problems. They will have some problems as they release this fantastic way they've done it, the social distancing. No one's been allowed to go anywhere. You know, we've got to have a little passport and everything else, but they've cracked the virus. Now, there's an opportunity for that virus to come back if English people go or Europeans go and carry it back. So, and other things as well. So now they have to be very careful as they break the quarantine, and I suspect we'll all be looking towards them. But at the moment, we're all highly optimistic. They've done it in the first place, and they can continue doing it and set an example to the world. So
John, with the greatest respect, you're not answering my question. So anyone can sort of cope with this lockdown because you can say this too will pass. 3 months of suspended, paralyzed economic and social life, it's a necessary evil. But if you're saying actually what's going to happen is next winter, this is going to be back, everyone's going to get it, and therefore it's going to work its way through society, and some people will get over it and some people will have difficulty and hopefully we'll have better drugs. Like, people aren't really telling us what the end game here is.
Well, remember, I haven't got a crystal ball. I'm a virologist. The first virus I ever worked with 50 years ago was the coronavirus, an innocent little one. We've all been infected with it over the years, but it's an innocent little thing, not like this one. So we do not know. I can't answer your questions. I can hazard a guess at it, and that is this virus has gone so far, it's unexpected to all of us, it's embedded itself around. I doubt whether we'll eradicate it from this planet, you know, as it were. So what we can do is buy time, and that's quite an important aspect. If we buy time, then we can, I mean, vaccines are on their way now in experimental forms, and new antiviral drugs, 20,000 are being screened at this precise moment. So we anticipate, and this is anticipation, but I think it's fair enough to say this, that by the time the winter comes, say November, October, that we will have some armature that I can get what I want, a pill in my pocket and a vaccine in my arm. I doubt whether we will go through the next winter with and without COVID-19, with nothing to to protect us. So okay. I'm optimistic in that regard.
Let's turn to the UK. So about 2 weeks ago, on his daily briefings around 5 o'clock, Boris was surrounded by health scientists and he was following the science. And the word he kept using, this was at the time of Cheltenham and Premier League matches at Anfield, he spoke about, we need to almost let the disease flourish because we're going to build up herd immunity. Was that a load of horseshit?
Yes, it was. A total and utter and dangerous talk, I would say. Whether it comes from him or the people in his little cohort in 10 Downing Street, I do not know. But it had to be shot down, and it was shot down pretty fast. Because it's almost like eugenics. It's almost like saying, oh, well, the elderly people, they can die away and everything will be all right. So it's dangerous talk, it's inaccurate talk, and I'm glad we've not seen any more of it. And I suppose politicians are not scientists. He's not a scientist. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. So we were able to forgive them to some extent for some time. But this must not go on. And I'm glad to report, in my own personal opinion, it is getting a bit more serious with him, which it needs to do. I wish he'd taken all this action about social distancing a month ago. They could have done. They could have done. But they haven't, so we just have to contend with what we've got. So, in a sense, what I'm saying is they're getting better, the bunch of them, but they've still not reached the standard I would like to see.
Right. I have a text here from you from Chris in Dublin. Would you kindly ask your virologist guest what he makes of, forgive the pun, Oxford study reported on in the FT that we have overestimated the peak of the virus and that up to 50% of the population have had COVID-19 already?
Well, I don't know whether they've got those figures from. I don't know whether they've plucked them out of the air. I suspect they may have been. They may be mathematical modellers who kind of model it out. They couldn't have tested that number of people for their antibody because the antibody tests are only just being introduced. So I think it's a lot of guesswork. I mean, virologically speaking, as a virologist, I doubt very, very much that this virus could have infected half the population in the last couple of months. I would go with 15 or 20%, or maybe even a third, but not as much as that, certainly not.
When do you think in the UK it will peak?
I would guess, I know there have been some outrageous figures, mainly from the modellers, of the number of people who are going to die, and I'm not concentrated on that. I would think that the peak will be achieved in, say, where are we now? Say 2 months' time. That's right, especially if we can bring in the social distancing. And that's one thing that my friend Peter Doherty, was a very significant thing. I mean, he's a Nobel Prize winner. He did mention to everyone that you don't get effects immediately. So if anyone thinks, I'm going to do all the social distancing, I'm not going to go to parties, I'm not going to do this, not going to do that, and then the next day they say, well, hang on a minute, the figures are still up. You have to wait 2 weeks. So you do all the wonderful things, the special things, your sacrifice, your help to combat this virus, but you won't really see the effects of it for 1 week, 10 days, or 2 weeks, and then you will begin to see the effects of it, and then you will begin to see your sacrifice, your help, will not have been in vain.
Okay, you were kind of finally circumspect about some of the projected death toll. As of close of business yesterday, it was at 422 in the UK. What's your ballpark of where you think it might end up there?
I haven't got one. I wish that no one had gotten to this spot. I really do. And I'm not going to. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not interested in maths to that extent. I don't see it in anything like the projections I'm hearing about. I don't see this outbreak being worse than, say, an epidemic of flu. And remember, last year in the United Kingdom, 7,000 people died of flu. 7,000 people died of flu. I can't see this, the way it's going about reaching that figure. I really can't. But that's the most I can say, because I'm not a mathematician. All I hope is that we will be able to encourage everyone. It is serious, the situation, I think, to encourage everyone to do this, what we can do. Everyone, I can do it, you can do it, everyone on the program do it. The social distancing, keep away from people, help other people, but keep away from them. You can do your hygiene, close the schools and so on. That can stop this virus because it's a people virus. It has to spread from person to person. If you break that link, it dies.
Always a pleasure to talk to Professor John Oxford, virologist from Queen Mary University of London. We look forward to talking to you again, John. Thank you for giving up of your time and explaining some expert analysis as a virologist.